don't get so busy that you forget to enjoy your kids. Don't get so busy that you don't rejoice over them. Don't get so busy that you don't enjoy the moments. As my kids have grown up, I want my favorite age for them to be the age that they are at right now. Because I don't want to look back and wish I was in another place. And I don't want to look forward and wish I was in a future place. I want to enjoy right where God has me right now. I've always had a unique way of communicating. She would say, James, go get the thingamajig. It's over by the whatchamacallit. And hurry up. I'm waiting for it. I am so thankful that my mother and father are here this morning. I believe that much of God's encouragement in my life has been a direct result of my mother praying for me. I am certain of that. I was in Ohio late February, or I was in West Virginia with my brother Paul, and I had a conversation with my nephew Clyde. And Clyde has been spending a lot of time with Grandma Beatty. And I said, Clyde, be careful. If that woman starts praying for you, you're going to end up having to become a preacher. Whether you like it or not, I know that that was some of her prayers for me, and I really did not want to be a preacher. But God liked her more than he liked me. So here I am. I praise the Lord for Jackie, the mother of my children, and I just love her every day of the week. She's the woman that I'm going to harass and give trouble to and make miserable and love and cherish. And amen to all that. Amen? But I want to go back to my mother for a minute. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I've just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that that comes out of this carpet. My mother taught me time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. She taught contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? She taught me stamina. You're going to sit there until that spinach is gone. She taught about weather. This room looks like a tornado went through it. She taught about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Do not exaggerate. She taught the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. She taught behavior modification. Stop acting like a heathen. She taught about envy. There's millions of children less fortunate than you who don't have a mother and father like you do. She taught anticipation. Just wait till we get home. She taught about receiving. When we get home, you're going to get it. She taught medical science. Stop crossing your eyes. They're going to freeze that way. She taught humor. When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. She taught about genetics. That, definitely from your father's side of the family. She taught about roots. Shut the door behind you. Were you born in a barn? She taught wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And the favorite, she taught justice. One day, you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. In Proverbs 31:28, the scripture says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. I just want to look quickly this morning at several mothers from the Bible and a godly example that the scripture shows from their life. The first one is going to be in Luke chapter 1. We find in verse 46, Mary. And in 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he hath done mighty things to me, great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Several things that we get from this that are very important to us doctrinally. First of all, is that she worshiped and praised the Lord. She was a mother that worshiped God. And she worshiped God, her Savior. She talks about her Savior. Mary, as well as everyone else, had to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior to be entering into heaven. I know that's not preached all over the place. She says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She was one that worshiped God. Worship is by choice. Worship is opposite of praise. Where praise is high, worship is low. Where praise is an excitement and a emotion, praise is a holiness before God. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I want to encourage every mother here to have a mother's worship toward a holy God. It's just part of taking time to be holy. It's part of an example that you can pass on. Mothers, you might not recognize this, but you have far more influence than you think. What you say will carry much further than what I say. Children will have that voice in their head that is their mother. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement. That thing, what would mother say about this? Amen? I've talked to several folks this morning that their mothers passed on. I believe everybody that has lost a mother would like to just spend a bit of time with her one more time. Just hug her neck one more time. Ask her another question. We need to remember this scripture that it commands us to honor does not stop at a certain age. And Abby turned 18, and I said, Abby, it's not a magic age. Because there's a bunch of legalities attached to it, doesn't mean that there's a bunch of things that we're all of a sudden free from in the Scriptures. We should be able to say, how can I honor now? Amen? How can I honor God now? How can I honor my mother and father now? There's a balance there. We can do both at the same time. Mary worshiped God. Will you choose to worship God? Will you sing out to the Lord? Will you just in prayer worship God? Will you just adore Him with your body and your spirit, which are His? My soul doth magnify the Lord. In Psalms 34, 1 through 3, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You have the opportunity to show your children God through your experience. You have an opportunity to show them salvation through your experience. You have an opportunity to show them through your eyes a worship of God. The next mother I want to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we look at Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Hannah had prayed for his son in anguish and agony, and Eli said, that thing that you prayed for, God will give you. And here she has this child, Samuel, and she's rejoicing and glorifying God. Boy, it is something to hold a newborn baby, isn't it? I know Terry and Martha are waiting any day on a baby. Seems like it's overdue a little bit, but it'll come. And they're going to go see that baby, and they're going to hold it, and they're going to rejoice over it, and they're going to get pictures with it, and they're going to coo and just love on that baby. Matt and Nikki with their little baby. It's almost a year old now, isn't it, Matt? Tad? I'm sorry. What am I doing? I'm looking past you, man. Tad, forget the parents. I just want to hold the baby. How precious God's gift of life is, amen? You know, Jackie and I had a child, and it was good. We had another child, and that was good. And we had another child, and that was good. And we had another child, and that was good. We got up to 6 children, and it was good. And Jackie said, that's good. I was saying, Jack, we could have 6 more. No, this is good. We have a sign that we hung in our bathroom for the longest time, and it was these 6 little owls, and one's hanging upside down. And the mother owl's on the end. She's saying, Lord, help me. Help me to enjoy my blessings. There is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There's a lot of work and effort that goes into having children. There's a lot of financial expenditures. There's a lot of heartstrings that are pulled in the process of raising a child. D.L. Moody said that a mother's love is the closest thing on earth to God's love. Having said that, you mothers, as you look at that baby and you love that baby, receive a perfect illustration of how God loves you. I don't believe there is a mother that hasn't had a quiet time of rejoicing and blessing. Saying, look at how God has given me this bundle of joy. Look at this blessing from the Lord. Look at God's goodness. You can say amen, ladies. You can say amen if you've had any of those understandings with a child. And you get to see how God holds us and rejoices over us. At a time when children are looked at as a curse, as a hindrance, as a barrier, take this mother's joy and rejoice over children. Amen? Have the influence you can while you can. Time slips by so quickly. I used to think it humorous. Jackie and I would go in a store and we'd have all our little ducks. I'd take them somewhere and I'd say, okay, Abby, put your hand on my side. Zach, put your hand in my back pocket. Zane, you're in my other back pocket. Emily, you're over here on this side. And I could tell if any of those hands came off of me. All right, Zach, what are you doing? Get your hand back in my pocket. So I could lock the door of the car and still keep track of everybody. I'd go in a store and some elderly couple would come up. And with almost fierceness, they would say, make sure that you enjoy these children now when they're young. The days of our life go by like the sand in an hourglass. And it's not long that they're not young. It's not long that all the puppies are growing up. Amen? Don't get so busy that you forget to enjoy your kids. Don't get so busy that you don't rejoice over them. Don't get so busy that you don't enjoy the moment. I had this idea and I kept it as my kids have grown up. I want my favorite age for them to be the age that they are at right now. Because I don't want to look back and wish it was in another place. And I don't want to look forward and wish it was in a future place. I want to enjoy right where God has me right now. Enjoy your kids. Hannah rejoiced over the fact that God had given her a baby. And it was a blessing, an incredible blessing from God. In Isaiah 12, 2 and 3, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Mothers, draw that water out of the well of your children's childhood. Enjoy those times of laughing. You know, you have to put on the badge once in a while and be the law and order and the sheriff, but don't forget to have some fun with those children. Amen? I was doing this duck dance at the house the other day. It was Zane and Zach and Grandma. And it reminded me of when I did a duck dance way back when Abby was the only one, and I was doing it to make her smile one morning. My wife came down and caught me. And I was congratulating myself that I'm still limber enough to do the duck dance. You know what the duck dance is, Cleon?
No.
And I'm with the kids, and I'm doing a duck dance. And I said to Zane, it really works best if you have a pair of underwear over your head. And there's a couple of clothes on the coffee table. And I walked down to them, and I found a pair of Zane's boxers, and I put them over my head. And I did the duck dance for the kids. Then nobody else wanted to do it in the family. They're not mature enough for things like that. I want to drive home the point. Remember to enjoy your kids. Amen. Those moments will be gone. I'll be home with Jackie and she will have no interest whatsoever in the duck dance. Where I had a nice audience that enjoyed the duck dance with me. We got a mother's worship and a mother's joy. These are models for us that we can follow. Little children come up with the most interesting ideas. Listen to what some children wrote for their mothers on Mother's Day. Angie, 8, said, dear Mom, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Robert wrote, I got a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle better than the snake I got you last year. Elaine wrote, "Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday. Then we would not have to go to school." Little Diane wrote, "I hope you like flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith was not looking." And one from Carol, "Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." We've got a godly worship, a godly joy. Here we have a mother's heritage. And I want to look at a couple of mothers that did not have the benefit of godly male leadership in their home. The scripture records this for us, and it's a blessing because sometimes we see that happen, and too much, right? In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, it says, "And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We have Timothy, Paul's son in the faith. And here he was brought up in Acts 16 and verse 1. It tells us a little bit more. "And then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." We see Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, had an influence in his life. He became a tremendous preacher of righteousness who gave his life for the gospel. And Apostle Paul calls it an unfeigned love, and it didn't come down from his dad. His grandma and his mother encouraged him in the faith. Ladies, if you happen to be without the support of a godly man, if you're alone in that regard, follow the Lord and have a genuine relationship with yourself, with God, so that the benefit of righteousness and the example of your faith can be passed to your children. Every person is leaving a heritage. Is it a heritage of doubt, or is it a heritage of unfeigned faith? Is it a heritage of trusting God, or is it a heritage of wringing your hands? Is it a heritage of trust and confidence, or is it a heritage of distrust? In Psalms 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." As God loves every person, He certainly loves the person of all those little babies. And He talks about having all their members written down and all their parts. And every one of us is different. No two of us are the same, but each of us are precious to God. And God made us different, and He made us unique because we are precious to Him. And He has a purpose, and He has thoughts toward each one of us. Say, God has some thoughts toward me? Yes, God has some thoughts toward you. And when you're feeling discouraged, and when you feel like it's not working, when you feel like all this instruction that you're giving this child is going in one ear and out the other, well, now you just know how the preacher feels. Now, I mean, just keep trying, keep working, keep throwing it against the wall. Put your hand on the other side of their head and speak to them. Keep trusting God to give the increase. Keep looking to the Lord. A mother's heritage. Next thing we're going to look at is a mother's protection. When we were at a certain point in our life, we lived near a pretty busy road. And Jackie would end all these sentences with, "You're going to get out in the yard and get out in the road and you're going to get hit by a car and die. You're going to fiddle around with the electric socket and you're going to get a shock from it and it's going to electrocute you and you're going to die." And when I noticed the kids starting to end their sentences with, "and die," I said, "Jack, you've got to stop saying that. You're giving our kids a spirit of fear." But don't we want to protect them? I was walking into Walmart yesterday and I had my three girls with me. And I said, "Megan, get your hand over here so I can hold your hand and make sure that you don't get hit by a car on the way in. If Abby and Emily get hit by a car, they should have known better by now, but I'm going to protect at least one of them to bring home to their mom." Don't we want to protect our kids? Can you imagine Moses' mother? They're not supposed to have any male babies, and they hide this baby as long as they can. You can't hide a baby that long. The babies don't understand what it is to be quiet. They don't understand why. They're not all about decorum. They're all about themselves. If I'm preaching and there's a baby making a little bit of noise, I can handle the little baby. If there's a big baby making noise and talking and being rude, I can't handle the big baby. The little baby don't know any better. The big baby does. So here, Moses, if he could just be quiet, stop crying, they could hide him longer, but they get to the point where they can't. And there was, in Exodus chapter 2, in verse 1, there was a man of the house of Levi, took a wife, the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. That's incredible. But she kept that baby quiet and hid for 3 months. It's amazing. There's a point where they start moving around and you never know where they are next. You know, they're here and then they're upstairs in the bathroom. They decide to cook in the kitchen. You've got to be on top of them every minute to help them to stay out of danger. Moses' mother had more problems than that. She had the Egyptians wanted to kill her son. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So she made this ark of bulrushes and she put pitch on it and she put pitch inside and she made a place for Moses and she laid him down in the bulrushes there by the river's bank. Well, you know, I wouldn't have done it that way. That doesn't seem very safe. There's alligators down there in that river. You know how easy a child 3 months could crawl that thing and drown? Now, we sat down and had a committee of 10 ladies to decide what to do with Moses. We would not have come up with putting him in an ark in the river. They're going to pitch it. You know that. Anybody got any pine tar in their car lately? We're going to pitch it inside now. Then we're going to put the baby in it. And then the baby's going to fiddle around and get that pitch all over him. Oh, that's a horrible idea. Let's not have the kids near the pitch. You guys know what I'm talking about? We wouldn't have come up with this solution. If we sat down as a church to come up with the best idea, we would not have come up with this. But this is what God gave this mother to protect her child. And guess what? God honored it. God honored it. And his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. She wanted to know what was going to happen, so she was the spy. You just make cool like you're playing there and see what happens with this. And to keep an eye on him. He's not at the house. He's at the river. He's in the bulrushes. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent the maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." God provided salvation for Moses in a far worse situation than we find our children in. Sure, we want to protect them from the evils of society. We want to protect them from the evils of written literature. We want to protect them when we're driving down the street because of all the junk they can see out the window of the car. We want to protect them from the foul mouths of people and the language that is commonplace. We want to protect them. I remember when I lived in Warren, my kids didn't go outside because they learned three new words that Jackie and I weren't using. And we weren't going to use. With God's help, in the worst situations, we can protect our children. This is a godly mother. The strongest thing you can do to protect your children is to live right before God. Solomon Roseberg, his wife, and his two sons, his mother and father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp. They had simple rules. As long as you can do your work, you'll be permitted to live. When you're too weak to do your work, you'll be exterminated. Roseberg watched as his mother and father marched to their deaths. He knew the next would be his youngest son, David. He'd always been a weak child. One evening, he came back to the barracks after hours of labor. He searched for the faces of his family. He found them huddled together, and he'd embrace them one after another and thank God for another day of life. One day he came back and he didn't see those familiar faces. Finally, he discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in the corner, weeping and praying. He said, "Tell me, Josh, it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to go to work. So they came for him." "Well, where's his mama?" "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." Mama said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, David." She took his hand and she went with him. We all want to protect our children, amen? There are a lot of creepy things in this world. And there's worse things than dying instantly. God help us with the Lord's help to protect our children, protect our grandchildren, to provide them a godly heritage. The worst thing that can happen is we can raise an atheist that is in a good job, in a solid family and relationship, and doesn't know or trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get what is success messed up. But God help us to protect our children. I want to show you the heart of the mother. When Jackie and I were working on naming our children, we had a few simple rules. We had to agree. Either one of us could veto any name. And we worked hard on finding a good name for our children. Our first child, Abby, we're pregnant. We find out she's a girl. And we went through a lot of names. And we didn't have agreement. I found this wonderful example in the Bible of a godly woman. In Acts 9:36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Can you imagine Abby being named Dorcas? And Jackie's like, I'm not having people call my daughter a dork. I got vetoed on that one, Brother Dan. We came to the story of Abigail, the wife of Nabor the Carmelite, and how he died, and David married her, and we both agreed on Abigail. But I want to look at this lady. She was not a mother in this story, but she behaved as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days she was sick and died, and when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. We have this woman, and here's all these widow ladies, and Tabitha had been an aunt to all those children. And she cared about them. And she'd been a helper and a teacher, and they pulled out articles of clothing and said, oh, Tabitha made this. Oh, yeah, she made this. And they're sorrowing and weeping and crying for her. And God saw fit that he let Peter raise her from the dead. You might say, Pastor, God never made me a mother. My heart's broken over it. I'll say to you, we have a story here in the Bible where you can have an important part in the lives of other children. But you can step forward and you can have a part in the lives of other children. You don't have to be without children. Maybe all of your children are gone and you can have a godly heritage in another generation. You can be an encouragement. You can be a deterrent. You can pray. As I was looking at this, in my office, I've got a pillow that Mrs. Jackson made me. And a lot of you have one too. Amen? Don't despair. I've seen people that on Mother's Day they were just bitter and broken down. Why hasn't God given me a child? Or yearning for a child that God had saw fit to take. Jump in and get involved. God has blessed our church with some children. You can make a difference giving special love to a child. Bill Williams, pastor of an inner city church in New York City, his mission field was a very violent place. He had been stabbed twice while he ministered to the people in the community surrounding the church. Once a Puerto Rican woman became involved in the church and was led to Christ. After her conversion, she came to the pastor. She said, "I want to do something to help in the church's ministry." Well, he asked her, "What are your talents?" She had nothing she could think of. She couldn't even speak English. But she did love children. So he put her on one of the buses that went into the neighborhoods and transported kids. Every week she'd perform her duties, she'd find the worst-looking kids on the bus, put him in her lap and whisper over and over the only words she'd ever learned in English, "I love you, and Jesus loves you too." After several months, she became attached to one little boy in particular. He did not speak, ever. He came to church Sunday after Sunday with his sister. He sat on this woman's lap, but he never made a sound. Each week she would tell him all the way to Sunday school and all the way home, "I love you, and Jesus loves you too." One day, to her amazement, the little boy turned and stammered, I love you too." He put his arms around her and gave her a big hug. That was at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, he was found dead. His own mother had beaten him to death and thrown his body in the trash. "I love you and Jesus loves you too." Those were some of the last words this little boy heard in his short life. I know it's different when it's your own kids, when it comes to changing a diaper. But it doesn't have to be different when it comes to sharing the love of God. You see somebody and you think, "Oh, they need a firm hand." No, maybe they need a soft hand. Yeah, they need somebody to take charge. No, maybe they need somebody to sit down and tell them a story about the old days. Maybe they need to see one of you men as a real gentleman. Maybe they need to see one of you ladies as a true lady. Encouragement, love, and care. If they're going to learn better, they're going to learn it from us. When preparation meets opportunity, that's when you have success. We have an opportunity in front of us. Are you prepared? Do you have the disposition? Do you have the heart? Do you have the desire to care? Will you choose to inconvenience yourself to care about someone else? I want to look at a mother's forgiveness. There was a little girl with her mother. She's 8 years old. The girl did something that caused her to feel alienated from her mother. The mother tried to reconcile. The daughter ran up to her room in anger. Going down the hall, she saw that her mother had a beautiful dress laid out on her bed for that evening. She ran and found some scissors, and she vented all of her anger onto that dress. She's cut it to shreds. Later, the mother came up. She looked at that mess on the bed, and she did what most of you mothers would do. She went in her room, threw herself on the bed, and just wept. The little daughter came in the room. She whispered, "Mother." There's no reply. "Mother, mother," she repeated, still no reply. "Mother, mother, please," she continued. Finally, the mother responded, "Please what? Please take me back. Please take me back," pleaded the girl. How often has the love of Christ taken us back? After we have intentionally done Him wrong, In Colossians chapter 1, it says, giving thanks unto God the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have a mother's worship, a mother's joy, a mother's heritage, the heart of a mother, and the forgiveness of a mother. We have the forgiveness of God. Back in Proverbs 31, many daughters have done virtuously. Thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I know I preached to the ladies this morning, particularly, but there's a lot of points that we can all receive. Amen? Let's all stand.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.